have to tell us about yourself. You also tell us about why you are interested in serving in the Catholic world. But also tell us if there are issues of conflict of interest on your part, so that the members don't shock you. Because members can do their work.
Over to you, sir. Just introduce yourself and tell us all these issues that have been.
Your 5 minutes, and after that, members will ask questions. Each member will ask questions, and you respond to questions, and all that combined will be 5 minutes.
Over to you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jack Palani. Just in terms of background and who I am, I came from Limpopo, that's where I actually grew up, and then currently based in Johannesburg. So I'm a lawyer by profession, so that is what I do today, and I do mainly commercial law. So I've got a wife and 2 kids, and that's me and my life. I always tell people that I lead a normal and simple life. And then that's just the background in terms of who I am. So in terms of the interest or why I actually wanted to be on the SABC board, so it was not necessarily a life or simple decision that I took, but based on what I have been hearing about the SABC, you know, I thought it's time for people to actually stand up instead of sitting outside and blaming what is actually happening. So I actually took a conscious decision that maybe I need to put my hand forward, you know, and contribute one way or the other in terms of how the SABC is run or the affairs, you know, of the SABC. So and the other reason I did that was because I believe one way or the other based on my skill sets and my passion for seeing this country actually, you know, getting there or going forward, you know, I used to then, you know, be part of what is happening and contribute, you know, whichever way I can. And then on the issue of conflict of interest, I do not believe that any conflict of interest on my part. And one thing I've gotten to learn and I believe in is that there may be instances where depending on an action that one has to deal with, there is a conflict of interest. But thus far, what I believe in and what I've learned is that if there's a conflict of interest, you always declare, you know, the conflict and not participate in any action where there is conflict of interest. But from where I'm sitting and what I'm doing and in relation to the board position on the SABC, I do not believe I have any conflict of interest.
Thank you very much. Just there on conflict of interest, surely you took interest in the Broadcasting Act of 1999. And therefore you're familiar with what that deals with, the conflict of interest, section 17. Are you able to share with us your knowledge on that clause? And maybe if you know the questions, if you're able to note the questions for us. But secondly, we were coming to the interview like this one, you definitely had to go through the Broadcasting Act, a knowledge about the processes that you are busy with relating to the amendment to the Act. Do you have knowledge of what is contained in the bill that needs to be amended, and what are the areas that you think need to be amended in that finalize it, we take on board your the issues that issues of your interest in that act that needs to be amended. So it's simple two questions. Yeah, on the disclosure but also on the amendment being processed.
Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. In terms of the section that you're referring to, I have indeed gone through the Act, but not specifically this question. But what I know and that which is in the Act is what I've alluded to. You know, where there is conflict of interest, you need to disclose that there is conflict of interest and you generally keep yourself. And that can also be read in line with the company that for any director of any entity, you know, any company. You know, so the key issue is disclosure. You know, you cannot participate in decision making if you know that you are one way or the other, you know, conflicted. So you disclose and refuse. And I mean in terms of the company that what one can also do is you can give your views about a particular method, but as long as when you do that, you have disclosed your conflict of interest, but you recuse yourself from decision making. You know, and going to the second question in terms of the bill and what needs to be taken into consideration when the act is, when the bill is debated and maybe passed into an amendment to the act. My thinking is actually based on the report that was prepared, you know, by the committee in terms of what was happening at the FABC. You know, one of the things that I think is not clear, you know, in terms of the Broadcasting Act, you know, is the issue of the appointment, you know, of the executives, you know, the group chief executive officer, you know, the COO and the financial person. You know, when you read the Broadcasting Act, I guess one can give it different interpretations, and one of those may be who is actually entitled to or has the right, you know, to appoint those individuals onto the board. You know, so I think it needs to be clear, and if I were to suggest one of the things that can be taken into account is that, you know, the Broadcasting Act is very clear in terms of, you know, the board in principle being responsible, you know, for the affairs of the SABC. So if I was to give an interpretation now, I would say, you know, an interpretation would be to read that to mean the board is actually responsible for making the appointment. You know, so for me, that is the one thing that will need to be tightened, you know, one way or the other, or make clear, you know, so that people know exactly what it means. Because, you know, from the report that I read, it has become, or it became easier for certain people to read things into the act so that they can achieve, you know, certain objectives. You know, so but if something is clear in the act, I think that will go a long way in helping. You know, and the other thing that I think needs to be considered, you know, and I'm not too sure whether, you know, it can be done, you know, in the amendment, but maybe it can be considered, is how the SABC is actually being, you know, financed. Because that is a critical issue, you know, from what I've seen and what I've read, you know, the SABC relies mainly on advertising, you know, for its revenue, you know, the license fees. You know,
yes. Members? I'm going to start with Ronald Kala.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is just straightforward, Mr. Patel. To me, just to mention, as you have already mentioned, the Broadcasting Act, which forms part of the legislative and government framework. What are others? Just mention them. Then two, they are basic documents which define and guide the relationship between the board, the minister, 3, there is also some other documents which deal with internal government appeal. Those are between the shareholder plus the board plus the president. Fourth and fourth question, last what are the various codes of government which actually also contribute towards assisting in making sure that there's a smooth running of the broadcaster, and how do they do it? Just mention them just, and then you answer them into those questions.
I'm hoping I understood your questions, but in terms of the documents that somehow, you know, direct how things are supposed to be done, you know, at the SABC, you know, for the SABC, you know, in terms of the Broadcasting Act, you know, the Act itself is a document that regulates, you know, it deals with the issue of governance. You know, and then in terms of governance, in the structure, you have a shareholder, and that shareholder it's a government being represented by the Minister of Communications. You know, and in that relationship, you've got the Act, and then you also have the Memorandum of Incorporation. You know, which deals maybe with shareholding issues. You know, and then you in that relationship, you know, in terms of the Broadcasting Act, it is. You know, you've got the board, and what is supposed to be happening in relation to the board is that, you know, the executives are reporting to the board. So it's more an administrative or an operational function, and that is the way it's framed in the, you know, in the Act. You know, so in terms of the relationship, there will be an internal policy, you know, that deals with policy issues at the SABC to make sure that the SABC gets to comply or meet its mandate. You know, so those are the key frameworks or documents. You know, and you also have the Public Finance Management Act. You know, that deals mainly with, because governance then relates to finances. You know, in terms of how these things are made, in so far as, for example, procurement. You know, entering into contract. You know, and within the SABC itself, you know, there will be a framework. You know, that talks to procurement. And that is a document that should, you know, be followed, for example, when it comes to anything to do with procurement.
Thank you very much. Another panda.
Mr. Chairperson, thank you for availing yourself, Mr. Palare. I'm very impressed by your CV. You are well qualified. My only concern is that you don't really have any broadcasting experience. So which leads me to the question of why the SABC board. Now I know you said, you know, you try to understand and buy and find that if you can see things are going wrong and you want to contribute. So if we do appoint you to the SABC board, at the end of your term, what is one thing that you want to look back at and say, you know, I did well and contributed to this, and it was because of my efforts, I as Jack Panani, that X happened. So what's one thing would you want to contribute and to improve the SABC?
The one thing for me will be to make people actually love the SABC. You know, and when I say loving the SABC, it would mean, you know, people will actually be proud, you know, to be associated with the SABC. You know, and that's part of what one can do, especially at, you know, at a board level. Because at that level, you're supposed to be driving strategy. You know, and driving strategy, I mean, and exciting things are happening in the years that we're living in. You know, technology is changing all the time. So one of the things that I will be thinking about to make people like love it is, will be how do we steer, you know, those who are operationally involved to make sure that the SABC becomes that, you know, exciting entity where people want to, you know, to be associated with the FNDC. And lacking the FNDC for me and the contribution that one can make, you know, it actually relates to correcting what seemed to have been the problem throughout. You know, and that is mainly the issue of governance, because the assets there, you know, things that are supposed to be done are there. You know, and I think as a board member, you know, one is not necessarily supposed to be operationally involved. And tying it back to my experience or not having broadcasting experience, one thing I do have as a skill is the ability to reach, you know, a piece of legislation and understand. You know, and at a board level, I think, you know, you require people with different skills. You know, corporate governance, I understand and I respect, you know, corporate governance. And I think if I can steer the SABC and the board, you know, to actually push corporate governance in ensuring that people do things that they're supposed to be doing, you know, that's for me would do.
So using your legal experience, the Broadcasting Act as stands, how would you improve it? You don't have to give me a long answer, give me a short answer. Where in the Broadcasting Act would you make changes to improve what's been done at the SABC?
My improvement will not necessarily be in the act itself. I've already spoken about some things that I think can be.
My question is about the act. How would you improve the Broadcasting Act?
I will probably just have a provision that is very specific in terms of compliance. You know, if you do not comply, you know, with your obligation, for example, as a board member, you know, there should be direct consequences, you know, and the easier ones will be, you know, either a fine or you go to jail. But that is if you flout, you know, very specific, you know, in terms of the act. That's probably one of the key.
What do you understand about the Broadcasting Act and the Companies Act? Do you think one trumps the other, or what are your views on the both of them in application to the
I think the acts need to be read together. Yeah, it's only where there is conflict where you have to decide which one will prevail. So if the Broadcasting Act is very specific, for example, in terms of certain things, you know, for example, the appointment and removal of board members, you know, that provision is very specific. So in my view, that would be the prevailing provision, you know, as opposed to the company that where, you know, a shareholder can remove a board member. But the best thing would be to actually reconcile. If it needs to be reconciled, if the two acts need to be reconciled, that can be done. But I do not necessarily think it's necessary. It may just be an issue of clarifying, you know, what is intended with the removal in terms of the Broadcasting Act.
Right. And then, are you a director of a company called African Crest Resources?
Yes, I am.
And what business is that company engaged in?
It's just an investment company, but it's not operational.
Who are the
Thank
other
you very
What last question, Jeff?
No, the time is up. Okay.
Who are the other directors of African Crest Resources?
There's Zoli Lemadugu, there's Pumla, Lohaba and Dumiso.
Okay, it's now Honorable Ndoz and Honorable Madisha. No, I said one. Honorable Ndoz?
You know the position one. Now the thing we need you to speak of is to convince us that you understand the broadcasting sector and its challenges. So I'm going to pose the question this way. In the age of the fourth industrial revolution, what are the challenges that the broadcasting industry faces? Question one. Next slide, my time, please.
No, it's in your time.
I think the key challenge is technology. You know, in terms of how we deal with the challenges, you know, that I'm engrossed by technology, which for me I think are probably policy challenges, because, you know, currently people can actually watch anything they want to, you know, on the internet, you know, and the question is whether do we still need broadcasting in the format that it is now, you know, so if we find a solution in relation to that as part of the SABC, so that people can actually access, you know, some of the programs, you know, that the SABC want to show, and I mean, people can use their phones, you know, to access whatever program they want to. So I think if you find a way, you know, of using technology, you know, to push, you know, everything that the SABC is supposed to be pushing, then that will help, because there's competition along all fronts because of technology.
When you don't know the challenges of the broadcasting act, that's the way politicians who abuse the SABC might take advantage of you. So how would you deal with that? I mean, these people who are often given these responsibilities of deep knowledge of the expertise and the development there. So you have not been in this space for a while. Give us an opportunity to understand, you know, why and how you would deal if you were given an opportunity to be in the board. How would you deal with this particular element?
You know, I think in the case of dealing with the challenges that may be posed, and maybe, you know, lack of experience in the sector itself, you know, I would love to believe that I have a fair knowledge in terms of what is supposed to be happening or what is happening, you know, in the broadcasting sector, you know, because the current challenge that we are facing is actually moving from analog to digital. You know, so I've got an understanding of what's supposed to happen there. So it's not a situation where one will use political language to say to me, well, this is what's supposed to be done, and actually I do not understand. But the other thing is that with any lack of...
Okay, last question. Funding. What are the best ways to improve the ways in which the SABC can potentially start to fund?
I think one of the things that can be done is actually to find a different model in terms of, you know, production of local content. You know, that may be a situation where there is partnership, you know, between the SABC and the producers, you know, and there it may be a situation where there's co-production, for example. You know, the SABC can fund some of the production, you know, and then they then share in the revenue, you know, and what the other thing that I've noticed is that we do not export, you know, the content that we have outside, you know, the territory of South Africa. So I think we can go a long way in terms of raising funds. If we find, you know, creative way, either using the internet to make sure that the content that we produce locally is also exported, but that has to be good content.
If you were in the RAS board, how would you have dealt with Southern Sudan? Final question.
I would have just told him what the act says, you know, and if there's no compliance, you know, you follow the correct procedures and get him removed, you know, that's how we have dealt with it.
How would you remove him? What is it that you would do to remove somebody like that if you were in the wrong place?
Well, you remove a person if the person is in breach of his or her obligation. So in this case, you know, and this is from what I've read, you know, there were flouting of various things within the SABC. You know, and the process of removing someone will literally, I mean, obviously you need to still follow the procedure, you know, but that may mean, you know, a proper disciplinary hearing with somebody independent, you know, and then get to a resolution. But I think, in my view, there was sufficient to make sure that it is done. But for some reason, I think maybe there were, I don't know, that problem alliances in terms of you know, the previous board members.
Let's
No, we have two seconds. You can't do anything. Another question?
Thank you. Vlad, corruption, mismanagement, political interference, all those kind of things engulf the past board. And as a result of that, we had very serious problems. If you were to get a and to the board that you are forming now, how will you be able to deal with that to make sure that things are proper?
For me, I've got one thing which is important to me, and that is my reputation. You know, corruption is corruption. Mismanagement is mismanagement. You know, and political interference is political interference. You know, and I think the way this are allowed to happen, or way allowed to happen, is that, you know, if either people do not understand, you know, what they were doing, or they overlooked, you know, some of the things that were happening. You know, one thing I'm sure about is that I am not a politician, and I still have a long career ahead of me. So I cannot, and I do not want to be associated with any of the things that you're talking about. And if you are part of the board, you then need to stand and say no to certain things that are happening. But if you do not know the procedure, because, I mean, I've read from the report that some of the members, for example, in the previous board, you know, were presented with a public protector's report, you know, and they just went along with an opinion without necessarily applying their minds to what was happening, and I guess also not appreciating or understanding what their obligations were, you know, in terms of the Broadcasting Act.
What experience, expertise, and other attributes do you believe make you a suitable candidate to be considered for appointment to this board?
In terms of experience, I am a qualified lawyer, and I've got the skill to deal with legislation, like I said, in terms of interpreting and understanding. You know, and my experience also includes, you know, being a board member, you know, and I understand what it means in terms of governance. You know, and if I use those, then I should be able to deal with challenges that the SABC finds itself in, or may find itself in. Because if you do not understand your rights and your obligations, you know, as a member of any board, then, you know, you're likely to go with everything. But corporate governance for me is key in everything that the SABC does.
Thank you. The workers at the moment at the SABC have been struggling for a very, very long time. You know, in terms of the salaries, bullying by the management, and a whole lot of things. What is it that you are prepared to do, or you could be able to do if you were to be appointed?
The SABC cannot in any way survive and or succeed without a buy-in from the workers. So in my view, there will have to be engagement, and there will have to be buy-in, you know, from the workers, because those are the people who will drive the organization. So what I will probably do will be to engage them, and also make them to realize that they are stakeholders, that they are partners in making the SABC succeed. Because if they do not contribute towards the success of the SABC, then they will be failing themselves. So I think it's engagement and making them realize that they are also part of the solution.
Good.
Thank you very much. Let me come back here. Another visit. But I think there's a niche on that. I think there's also a number of
comments. The character is given as like you take for me. Now, I'm already taking him. One is there is a debate going on which suggests that the executive role and powers of the executive director in the board need to be reviewed. What's your take on that? Would it be a wise thing to do? And why?
I believe, you know, it will be a wise decision to actually review the the powers of the executive directors. You know, in terms of structure and corporate governance in general, you will have, you know, the shareholder, you know, and you will have the board, you will have the executive directors, and all other, you know, employees of the SABC. So executive directors are supposed to be dealing with the operations, you know, in relation to everything that is happening at the SABC. But those are supposed to report, you know, to the board. It cannot be a situation where the board actually takes orders, you know, from executive directors. That is not, in my view, how corporate governance should be working. So I think it should be very clear that, you know, executive directors, you know, they report to the board, because the board is actually responsible for running or making sure that the affairs of the SABC are run, you know, in compliance with the Act. But in my view, you cannot have them actually telling the board what to do, because if that is the case, then it defeats the purpose of having a non-executive directors on the, you know, on the board. And then in most instances, executive directors, I mean, I don't know whether I'll say they are biased, but they are so entrenched in what is happening within, you know, their operations. But when you put a board that is overseeing what is going on, you know, it is in a better position to give direction, you know, in terms of what is happening.
I don't know if my trauma is okay.
As you understand, a decision was taken for the great board to be dissolved, and there was a process of an actual committee that brought an interim board. That everybody in South Africa is taking the process that the interim board was made. I would want to hear
what the interim board has already done, you know. For me, I would like to believe it's a step in the right direction, because it is important to make sure that all the wrongs that happened today, you know, are being dealt with. Because if you do not do that, then there's going to be, you know, this cycle, you know, of going back to the same things that happened so many years ago. So my view will be, you know, what they have already started doing, one can only work on improving, you know, that which they have done, you know, and I think the report that has already been prepared, you know, and finalized, for me, it's a good start in making sure that everything that went wrong is actually, you know, corrected. And on the issue of digital migration, you know, I would love to believe that it's I'll use the word unfortunate that we are not there yet, because, you know, technology is changing, and it's changing very fast. You know, so the spectrum that we have is somehow limited. So I believe that if this is, you know, I don't know whether to say fast track, but we realize that it's urgent that we move, you know, we migrate to digital, because that will, in my view, open various opportunities in terms of what the SABC, you know, can do. You know, I'm currently understanding in terms of the multi-fed one, you know, SABC will be able to have so many, you know, programs, you know, there, so which means there can be more in terms of content, so there can be more that can be done, you know, using the technology that is available. And it will also help people to start thinking, you know, in terms of how best, you know, can we sell, you know, what we have at the SABC, you know, to South Africans, you know, and even people outside South Africa.
Thank you very much, Honorable Comrade.
Thank you, Dr. Tana. I've heard you speaking about the Broadcasting Act, but I'm yet to hear you speaking about its, the key elements of its object. You spoke about it from the perspective of elements of governance, framework, and so on. But I would ask you to articulate to two or three or four elements of this object. A lawyer understands what I'm asking now. And it's a very, very important thing to get. And the second issue is if you can share with us your knowledge of the governance imperative. The final expression in the board chapter. And also share your views with us. And I've heard you making some comments about the editorial independence. What would be your view if the government party comes to SABC and say, this is what we want reported, take into account the shareholder would have been a minister from the government party, and again discuss the terrain independence in that context.
Dealing with the first question, you know, the key thing that is in the Broadcasting Act in terms of the objects, you know, I can actually summarize that to be, you know, the SABC is there to actually educate, you know, it is there to entertain, you know, it is there to actually deepen democracy, you know, in the country. You know, it is there to promote, you know, the different languages that we speak, you know, in the country. You know, so they,
you can go to the next slide.
And then one of the things linked to those is editorial, you know, independence. You know, I firmly believe that the only way we can deepen the democracy we're talking about, you know, is to have editorial independence, you know, and you cannot, in my view, have a situation where, you know, the broadcaster is being told, you know, by a political party what needs to be done. You know, what needs to be done should be that which is contained in the legislation that we have. But, you know, editors should be free to, for example, report on what is happening, you know, in the country, because that is one way, you know, of deepening the democracy, because they will be sharing everything that is happening.
What does the Act say? What are the written documents saying?
What?
No, not your view. What do you know them to say?
One of the things that the Act and related documents are talking about is that, you know, the in terms of editorial independence, you know, there is report, you know, or checking with the COO insofar as editorial, you know, issues are concerned. It's not a situation where, you know, the editors, you know, are free to do what needs to be done, you know, on their own. So they always need to be checking, you know, or getting permission from the COO to be, you know, to be reporting on certain issues, you know, and I think that is what has created some of the problems that we are having.
There are no questions. Governance imperative, and the right expression is what is happening.
I think if I understand the question correctly, you know, governance relates to, you know, the board, you know, doing what they're supposed to be doing, ensuring that their policies dealing with issues of, you know, procurement or supply chain, you know, management, you know, and holding the advantage, you know, to account.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Mr. Talani, for making yourself available. I've got three questions. I'll ask them all in succession, if you don't mind, and then you can ask them all at once. The first question is, can you tell me what the difference is between a state broadcaster and a public broadcaster? And in your view, over the last decade or so, has the SABC operated as a public broadcaster or a state broadcaster? Just can you discuss that question and tease that out for me? And the second question is, you made a very good point earlier about the executive needs to report to the board, and the executive board members need to report to the non-executive board members. And we've seen how in the past that hasn't happened, the fact that that relationship has been inverted, and it's the executive directors who have tended to wield the power at the SABC. Can you give us more diagnosis of why that has happened, why that relationship has become inverted, and what specifically you would do to rectify that balance, to ensure that the directors report to the board? And then lastly, I just wanted to ask you about your master's, your LLM in telecoms law. Why did you choose telecommunications law, and what was your dissertation on?
On the first question, state broadcaster versus public broadcaster, and I think my simple distinction or definition will be, you know, the public broadcaster is actually supposed to be, you know, broadcasting for the public, you know, and doing everything that is there to enhance or assist, you know, the public in light of the objectives that are left to previously. Whereas if you've got a state broadcaster, you know, I think it's there to serve the interest of the state, you know, and the state obviously would in most instances be, you know, whoever is in charge of the state, you know, at the time. So I would then think that the SABC has for a while been more of a state broadcaster as opposed to a public broadcaster. And this view is based on what has been happening. For example, if you think of the federal independence that I was talking about, you know, and some of the people that were fired at the SABC, it would seem like those people were fired because they were not doing what they were expected to be doing, you know, by the state, you know, and I think if that is the case, it would be very difficult actually to get to meet the objectives, you know, of the Broadcasting Act. You know, and in terms of what I would do, you know, in terms of the relationship, you know, between the executive directors and the board, you know, for me, I think it's actually doing what the excess should be done, you know, and that would mean saying, you know, prescribing or making it clear to the executive that they do your account to, you know, to the board, you know, and if you do not do that, like I was saying, there are procedures that one will have to follow, because then it becomes a violation of the statute, because if your responsibility is to hold them to account and you do not do that, you yourself are then as a board member, you know, violating, you know, the prescripts, you know, in the Broadcasting Act, because you are an accounting, you know, authority. You know, so for me it will be to literally say, well, this is what needs to be done and this is how it's supposed to be done, because that is what legislation, you know, provides. You know, and then in terms of my interest in telecommunications, I think one of my lecturers at the time, you know, made telecommunications to sound, you know, so interesting. But the other thing that I also had developed an interest in at the time was that, you know, telecommunications and technology, you know, and for me it was, well, there is so much, you know, that can be done, you know, in light of changing technology, because the way we use technology will go a long way in actually assisting us in some of the challenges that we are facing. So there's so much that one can do depending on how you use technology. You know, and my dissertation, you know, at the time was mainly, you know, talking about, you know, the SABC, you know, itself being sort of the only broadcaster, you know, and it was more the mouthpiece of the government at the time. So it was looking at the history and how the SABC has been, you know, run, and I think my conclusion at the time was that it was more of a state, you know, broadcaster the way it was, but that's the way I guess it was set up, you know, at the time. It was just reflecting that which the powers that be at the time, you know, wanted it to broadcast.
Thank you very much. Any questions to members? Do you have a member? Do you want to ask any questions to the member? That's what I'm asking.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, is the opportunity to do that now?
And this is addressed to, you know, to everyone. You know, what are your views, mainly as political parties, you know, when it comes to the issue of, you know, the independence, you know, of the SABC and independence related to, you know, political interference. You know, are you like strong enough to say, well, we will actually come up with legislation and then we will leave those who are responsible for the implementation of the legislation to do that. So how do you have that conviction of saying, well, we will not actually interfere if we've got a very good piece of legislation that deals with how the SABC needs to do that?
Honourable does not answer now there. Honourable does. I gave you an opportunity to answer.
Actually, the framework at the moment is perfect. What is imperfect are people who do not follow the law. The public broadcaster and our act are in a very proper position because they come out of a bad experience of the apartheid propaganda machinery and mechanisms used to control and abuse the SABC. But the problems we have are board members and politicians in the executive, mostly it's not members of parliament, it's people who have access to the board, board members and executive individuals who have been abusing the process. So the weaknesses are not in the law, they're in the conduct of those who choose to ignore the law and as a result don't want to create.
That's our view. Speak on that. Thank you very much, Mr. Pashan Palani, for your contribution to the process. If you are leaving tonight, or while the city is sleeping, have a good night. Thank you very much. Can we have the last person to remember with it's already half past 9.
Thank you.